Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be focusing on Eicha, Perek Gimel, the third and middle chapter of the book of Eicha. This Perek is different from all the other Prokim in the book of Eicha, in that chapters 1, 2, 4, and 5 all have 22 psukim. This Perek has 66 psukim, which should strike you as in fact being that 22 times 3 is 66, which is precisely what's happening. As opposed to the aleph-based structure of most of the other prokim, which there are 22 Hebrew letters in the alphabet, here we have 66 because each letter now gets three shorter psukim. But it isn't actually really deviating from the general cadence of the sefer itself, because as we've seen in the first two prokim, each pasuk, the aleph pasuk, the beis pasuk, the gimel pasuk, had six phrases in it. What happens in this perek is simply we cut those six phrases into groups of two. So essentially, each pasuk is much shorter now. So it has two phrases each, which means that each letter is still getting the six phrases, just as opposed to all six in one pasuk. They're now in groups of three, two phrases per pasuk. It's also important to notice that as opposed to the first two prokim, the focus of this perek is not the destruction of Yerushalayim, not the Churban Habayis. It seems to be referring to the situation in the aftermath, the suffering in society which occurs after the destruction of the temple, something which we can relate to a lot more because perhaps we did not witness the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but we do witness the suffering and what feels like the aloneness in the post-destruction reality. Our perek we can divide into roughly three basic sections, and they are the following. Psukim Aleph to Chof Aleph, the first 21 psukim, are about suffering in general. The psukim Chof Beis to Lamed Tes are considering the ways how Hashem interacts with this world. And finally, the last psukim Mem to Samach Vav, 40 to 66, are about a prayer for redemption and vengeance. Let's take it piece by piece. What we're going to look at is each section, a basic summary, and a pasuk and focus in each of the three sections. The first section, which runs from psukim Aleph to Chof Aleph, essentially is, if you think about the actual numbers in the acrostic here, it's Aleph through Zion. So three psukim for Aleph, three psukim for Beis. That's the section, the first 21 psukim, 7 times 3. In this section, in the Aleph section, it describes the main theme of this whole section, which is the constant and unrelenting suffering that the person says, Ani agever ro, ani b'shevet evrasoy, I've seen, I've experienced the suffering in my own way. From Beis to Gimel, those six psukim, are a description of the suffering of the narrator himself. So he talks about Bila Bisarivo Ri Shibarat Mosama, bones are broken, my skin has been pulled off. It talks about really terrifying descriptions of personal experience. Psukim Dalet to Hey, those next six psukim, the narrator complains of the cruelty he feels at the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been actively involved in hurting him directly and the people around them. His satiated in bitterness. And finally, in the last six psukim, in the section Vav to Zion, the letters Vav to Zion in the acrostic, the narrator experiences hopelessness. It's at this point he arrives at such a deep level of hopelessness that he says, Tiznach mishalom nafshiyav, no longer can contemplate peace. I've lost my hope in Hashem. And at the very bottom of this, the nadir of this pit, he actually turns to Hashem and says, Zois Hashiv El Libi Al Kein Ochil. I'm going to therefore turn myself to Hashem, and in this I'm going to hope. So it's at this depth that he can only look upwards, and that leads us to the next section. Before we get there, it seems that the narrator in this section is describing experiences of the nation. But it seems that many of the experiences he's describing from first-hand experience, whether he experienced it himself or he's describing what he witnessed people around him experiencing. The pasuk we're going to look at in focus is pasuk Tes Vov. The pasuk reads, it's in the section of Hey, Hispiani Bamramim Hirvani Lana. He has satiated me in bitterness with bitter herbs. Hirvani Lana, he has brought, so to speak, fullness in out of wormwood. What's this referring to? So the Al-Sheikh explains that there was so much suffering, there was no longer space for an appetite or any other perspectives, enjoyment and love. However, if you dig it deeper, he quotes Chazal, who say that this actually refers to two separate days. His Bi'anim Amramim refers to the night of Pesach, where we eat Maror. Hirvani La'ana refers to the night of Tisha B'Av, where we eat wormwood, or so to speak, where we're living in the bitterness of exile. In fact, not only is it that the Chazal darshan these two psukim, there are many, many, many parallels. One is, there's an interesting system called Atbash. Atbash is that if you map out the day of the week in our calendar of Pesach, day 1 of Pesach, day 2 of Pesach, day 3 of Pesach, each day of Pesach can map out the day of the week that another holiday in the upcoming year will fall on. So it goes At. The Aleph, the first day of Pesach, corresponds to the Taf. What's Taf? Tisha B'Av. The day that Pesach, the now first night of Pesach, falls in that year will always be the same day of the week that ultimately Tisha B'Av will fall. And therefore, there's this automatic connection. By the way, you can map out all the other six nights of Pesach and see where they map out to. Fascinating in terms of contemporary parallels. But there is a connection between the night of Pesach and Tisha B'Av. That's one of the reasons why we eat a egg of the notion of Avelos at the Seder. Of course, there's the idea of the morrow. Why? What's the connection? So the Torah Tumim explains that the Baruch Epstein explains very simple. Is that because our stay in Egypt was abrupt, it was interrupted, we did not get the full 400 years, we only got 210 of those years, the remaining suffering was stored away for all future generations, and we were, so to speak, paying back the debt of what the Galus Mitzrayim was supposed to be as well. However, it could also be that in the same way that we eat the maror on Pesach, but we notice that we're in the middle of the story, that there's still going to be an ending, there's going to be a geula. Similarly, we hope that on the night of Tisha B'Av, as we're experiencing the wormwood, we're experiencing the suffering and the pain and the bitterness of exile, we hope that this is not the end of the story, this is just simply the middle of the story, and we're looking forward to the geula b'mehirah yomeinu. Let's move to the second section over here, which is from Psukim Ches to Men. So Psukim Chov Beis to Lamentes, the letters in the acronym of Ches to Mem. This is about considering the ways of Hashem. How does Hashem work and operate within this world? The narrator begins by recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Baal Chesed. Chaste Hashem ki lo yisamnu ki lo yichol rachmov. He's the ultimate one who provides mercy. Which is why he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, relating to his realization, at the end of the last section, Al kein ochil lo. That's why I hope in him, because I know he is the source of mercy, the source of kindness. He recognizes that Hashem does repay prayer. Tov Hashem lo kovov. Hashem is good to those who hope in him. And those who contemplate him, Yeshei bodom v'yidom ki notalolov. As the Mishnah in Perek Avos, the beginning of the third Perek, says that this refers to a person who's sitting alone and contemplating Torah. How many times have Jews been put in solitary confinement just for the terrible crime of perpetuating Torah, for living up to ritual in the numerous kingdoms that we've and terrible autocracies that we've lived through? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, Yeshei bodom v'yidom ki notalolov. Hashem's going to still pay back for all that Torah, for our adherence to his way of life. But there's an element of also tzedakah adin, which means ratifying Hashem's judgment here. If Hashem is totally good, it must be there's a reason for all the suffering. The way it's described here in Pasuk Lamed Vav is, in very powerful terms, La'aveis adam berivoy Hashem lo ra'a, to pervert the justice of a person in their fight, Hashem did not see that. Two ways of looking at that. One way is that it could mean to say that it's not possible that if you see injustice in the world, you see Babylon ripping apart and destroying so mercilessly the nation of Israel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not see that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay that. However, there's another way of looking at that, and that is that if evil is happening to a person, it must be that person deserved it in some degree or fashion. So there's a certain ratifying of the justice of Hashem. The pasuk we're going to focus on in this section is a fascinating pasuk, Chadashim Labokorim, Rabba Emunosecha, new every morning, renewed every morning, much is your faithfulness. It's a very famous pasuk coming from over here. What does this mean? It's clearly, the tone of the pasuk is clearly exemplifying the incredible nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's faithfulness to the humankind. How is this expressed? Rashi says, daily miracles. We wake up in the morning, our heart is working, our body is working, we're breathing oxygen, the world is here, it's beautiful, we can look at a magnificent sunrise, we are blessed with family, there's so many things that we can be thankful for. It's the daily miracles. Rabbi Munosech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, Mode Ani was framed based on this pasuk. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have faith in humanity, even though they sometimes don't have faith in you. The level two is the Medrash actually describes, this in, or the Gemara Chagiga as well, New Dalet Amud Aleph, describes that this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates forces of nature, angels, as the Rambam understands them, on a daily basis. Chadashim LaBakarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews all the forces in this world to ensure that the world continues to interact. And that being the case, says the Torah Tamimah, if that's the case, with the fact that humanity are not renewed, the fact that humanity in a certain sense, are constant, whereas the angels are renewed on a daily basis, is a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something from us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a mission for us. And finally, the third and most powerful level over here is the Midrash Rabbah describes in Eicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the name of Alexandri, Ma'u Chadashim Lebokorim, Ad She'atom Mechadshenu B'chol Boiker, Boiker, while you renew us every day and morning, the fact that we see this microcosm, so to speak, of redemption happening to our bodies on a daily basis, on a Yodim Shem Unoscha Rabba L'tchias HaMeisim. We know that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. There's a bigger picture. There's going to be Geula. There's going to be Din B'cheshbon. So looking at the micro scale of my own life, I can know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will provide for the macro scale of the nation of Israel. Let's turn to the last section of this parak, which is around from Sukkim Mem to Samach, Samach Vav, which is 40 to 66, the letters Nun to Taf, and this is really about the prayer for redemption and vengeance in the end. The basic summary is in the section of Nun, he describes in it what's up till now been a singular voice. Now the narrator moves to the plural voice and he calls out for Israel to do teshuvah. Nach besodorachenu v'nach korev v'nashuvah ad Hashem. Let's look at our ways. Let's take a hard look in that mirror. Let's not blame the geopolitical situation and leaders and other nations. Let's look in the mirror and see what it is that we can own in this situation. From the letters Samach to Tzadi in the acronym, the narrator now describes feeling cut off completely from Hashem, the hopelessness of such a state. Sofu Maim al Rashi, the water floats above my head. Omarti Nigzarti, I feel like I've been cut off from Hashem. But, he says in Kuf and Reish, he calls out to Hashem to answer him. He says, Karasi Shimcha Hashem, mi bar tachtios. I called you from the pit, the lowly pit, Koli Shamata, but you heard my voice. And finally, in Shin to Taf, he begs Hashem to hear the arrogance and the curses of the enemy and to in turn destroy them. It's a very pained and vicious call. It's actually the last pasuk in this parak is, in fact, a pasuk we use in the Haggadah, which is a very, very, very sharp pasuk, Tirdof Ba'af. God pursue them in anger with Sashmidem and destroy them itachas Shemei Hashem from below beneath the heavens. Oh God, this refers to a very, very powerful description over here of seeking vengeance from those who have mistreated us. The pasuk in focus that we're going to look at is pasuk Nunvav in this section. Of course, every pasuk requires focus. This is just an example. Koli Shamata al Tale Moznachal Rav Chasi L'Shavasi, which is a pasuk we actually say before Tekiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It's taken from here, from Eicha, in the third perek. Hashem, you listen to my voice. Don't hide your ear from my calls, from my supplications. In the Palgei Mayim, in one of the Meforshim, on Sefer Eicha explains, what does it mean, Rav Chasi? Revach means space. Why space is so important to appreciate tefillah, to understand tefillah, is because sometimes what is a barrier between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our very own sins. We've ruined that relationship, we've ruined that space that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so much so that why should Hashem turn to listen to us? And we beg Hashem, please Hashem, we're praying, give us the ability that we can actually allow our tefillahs through, as the Palgei Mayim describes, like Menashe, who didn't deserve to be answered, the King Menashe didn't deserve to be answered, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, dug a hole beneath his divine throne chamber so that the tefillah would come in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us the audience, even though we don't deserve that audience anymore. And then perhaps our supplication can be answered. Amen v'cheni yihi ratzon. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.